Since the attacks of September 11th in 2001, terrorism has dominated the foreign policy agenda. Today, in a major speech at the National Defense University, President Obama is going to refocus the nation's counterterrorism strategy, shifting the drone program that we've heard so much about from the CIA to the Department of Defense, and forecasting what he hopes could be an end to the war on terror itself. Last night, for the first time, Attorney General Eric Holder, in a letter, confirmed that the United States drone strikes have killed four American citizens. In September of 2011, a targeted strike killed radical Muslim cleric Anwar al-Awlaki in Yemen. According to Holder, three other Americans who died in that strike and in other attacks, quote, were not specifically targeted, end quote. Now, for more on the implications of this shift in the policy of drone strikes, we turn to Mike Azenko. He's Douglas Dillon Fellow at the College on Foreign Relations and author of Politics, Power, and Preventative Action blog. Micah, hi.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Well, first, what does it mean for the administration to have done what everybody's talking about, which is acknowledging the killing of four American citizens by drone strikes? We all knew about al-Awlaki. Even though it hadn't been officially acknowledged, it was the biggest open secret in the country that this American citizen had been targeted and killed by his own country, but three others as well. What does it mean to finally have our government acknowledge that these killings took place?
Well, it's about being accountable for the actions that you undertake on behalf of the U.S. citizens. As you pointed out correctly, the only revelation yesterday was Jude Kenan Muhammad, who was an American citizen, was killed in Pakistan. Everyone else who was in the letter from Attorney General Eric Holder to Congress yesterday was already well known. So in a sense, this is the administration's efforts to largely make transparent what is already publicly available information in order to sort of claim that they're continuing their engaged dialogue with Congress, with the public, and their commitment to transparency. But there was really nothing new in that memo, because most of what we knew about the principles by which they could conduct these strikes and the individuals who had been killed and the fact that three of them had been killed accidentally, we've known for over a year.
Okay, so the cloak of transparency, if you will, is sort of cast over some things that we probably already knew. But another big part of this, Mike Azenko, is doing what a lot of people in Washington have been calling for a while, I think including you, which is shifting the drone program away from the CIA and into the Department of Defense, making the drone program purely military. Is that a good idea? What does that really mean to the policy? What does that mean to targeting alleged terrorists?
It is potentially a good move if the president and the secretary of defense support the principles of transparency and openness, which cannot occur under the CIA. And under U.S. law, a covert action conducted by the CIA are operations which cannot be acknowledged or defended publicly. So, for example, when the United States conducts drone strikes in Pakistan, the U.S. ambassador can in no way there articulate what the United States is doing. Subsequently, the Pakistani military and Pakistani militants are essentially conducting America's strategic communications campaign in Pakistan. They articulate what's happening with drones, largely much of which is myths and misinformation, whereas if these were Department of Defense operations, you can acknowledge them. So the other problem is there's this split between who has what's called lead executive authority in which country. So, for example, in Pakistan, all drone strikes are conducted by the CIA. In Somalia, all of them are conducted by the military. And in Yemen, some are conducted by the CIA and some are conducted by the military. So there's questions of why you need parallel drone programs between the CIA and the military when if you're committed to being more transparent and open about these operations, you can only do it through the military. You cannot do it through the CIA.
We shouldn't be confused, though, Mike Azenko. Am I right that this means that the Secretary of Defense or the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs are going to run around proclaiming every single military drone strike that kills somebody who we think is a terrorist?
Well, currently, the director of the CIA personally signs off on every single drone strike. So this was under the procedures that were developed early on in the Obama administration. So Michael Hayden and then Leon Panetta and then David Petraeus and then Michael Morrell and now John Brennan, they have to personally sign off on every single drone strike. So we're not sure what will be the rules of authorization if the military takes hold. It's very interesting that when Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel had all of his hearings to become the Pentagon secretary, nobody asked him one question about U.S. targeted killings when so many people made that the focus of John Brennan's hearings. And now it turns out John Brennan might not have any oversight or authorization role in these.
And it may all go to Hagel at the Secretary of Defense. Well, I mentioned, Michael Zenko, before we let you go, that the president seems to hope that this shift in policy with targeted killings, tightening up standards for who can be targeted, shifting it to the military and so forth, portends an end to what we know of as the war on terror. Can you explain relatively briefly how we get from here to the end of the war on terror? What does that mean?
Well, it's almost inconceivable to do this because last week in a very disheartening Senate hearing, senior Pentagon officials acknowledged that they believe they have the authorization to use military force against anyone that they say is an affiliated force of Al-Qaeda, and they will not provide a list of who those consist of. They claim they can conduct these operations anywhere on Earth. They also claim that they can conduct these strikes. Senator Lindsey Graham asked a Pentagon official, so these might go on for 10 to 20 years. And the Pentagon official said yes. So if President Obama is now going to try to bring to a close the practice of non-battlefield targeted killings, which the United States has been engaged in since November 2002, again, 50 drone strikes under President Bush, over 375 and counting under President Obama, this would have to be a remarkable speech that can justify why the president is going to call an end to the war on terror, which the people who are implementing it say could go on for another two decades.
Major shifts potentially in U.S. drone policy from the president to the United States, a policy that he relies on in what we have come to know as the war on terror. Micah Zenko is Douglas Dillon Fellow at the College on Foreign Relations and author of Politics, Power, and Preventive Action. Thank you, Micah.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.